disappointments, situations that are negative from our perspective, that can all make us ask why and what now and how do we respond to something like that. We come to the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and God is making a covenant with David, which is an amazing thing, but David's heart is one where he wants to do something back, give back to his father, give back to the God that has saved him so many times. And he asks God about building him a house. He sees that just what is the worship place for God, he just doesn't see it as a place that is equating to God's goodness, God's greatness. And God responds to him in this way. Verse 12 of 2 Samuel chapter 7 says, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring afterward, after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And so this is the expression of God's love. The Lord is going to make a house. He's going to be the one that builds. And so it was the coming Messiah who would establish David's kingdom forever. These words in verse 14 that later talk about the fact that a father and a son would be involved. It's an amazing thing as we look at father and son and somebody that we can trust. So although David desired to build the Lord a house, that temple, instead it would be the Lord who would build David a house or a dynasty. So how do you and I respond to disappointment? I mean, if we've been Christians for a little while or we've been Christians for a very long time, we battlefield feelings of disappointment when life goes wrong. Deep down, we think that following Christ should give us some sort of immunity against trouble. And maybe we haven't left everything, but we've had some painful sacrifices. And doesn't that count for something? Shouldn't that give us some sort of pass from disappointment? So when asked, "What now, Lord?" instead of "Why, Lord?" that's a hard lesson to learn. It's hard to ask the right question when you're feeling disappointment. It's hard to ask when your heart is breaking. What would you have me do now, Lord? And you feel angry or disheartened by those disappointments. So where do we take those heartaches? And in the face of trouble, our tendency is to not ask the right question. Our natural tendency is to complain. But griping to other people rarely solves problems. Instead, it tends to drive people away. Nobody wants to hang around a person who has this self-pitying, pessimistic outlook on life. But we can't just let it go. We need to pour our heart out to someone. Disappointment is just too heavy a burden to bear. If we let disappointments pile up, they lead to discouragement. Too much discouragement leads to despair. God doesn't want that for us. It's in his grace God asks us to take our heartaches to him. And so the answer to what now, when we pour out our heart to God and find courage to ask him, "What do you want me to do now?" we can expect him to answer. He will communicate through the word, through another person, through circumstances. Bible's something that we need to turn to. And as we look at that story in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see that David has this major disappointment. He had his heart set on building a house for God, but God said no. David could not, but his son Solomon would. And so instead of responding negatively, he responded in a positive way. He thanks God and he praises God for the good things he was going to do in his life and that of his family. 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 through 29. So disappointments give us a choice. We can concentrate on what's wrong, or we can find that silver lining. One way leads to despair, the other to fulfillment. So how are you doing today? Are you focusing on negative instead of looking at the way God has blessed you in spite of the disappointment? See, disappointment may seem like a closed door. it teaches us that we have a choice. What is our hope when plans fail, when there's shattered dreams, when those disappointments come? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." So are you confident? That's the part we know. Are you confident that God's purpose will be accomplished in your life? And are you confident that you are committed to becoming like Christ? Why don't you today ask God to help make you make the godly choice when facing disappointments, believing God will accomplish his purpose? Let's look to him. Let's trust him.